Yes, you can be financially free with real estate in the next 2 to 3 years, but it's not the way that you think, which is probably single family houses. In fact, it's with apartment buildings. And the best part about it is you can do it today, even if you have no experience or cash of your own. Hi, my name is Michael Blanc, and together with my partner, we control over $65 million of performing multifamily assets all through the United States. In addition to investing nationwide, I also teach people how to buy apartment buildings with a special focus on raising money. In fact, to date, we've helped people buy 750 units all over the country in excess of $27 million, and we're on track to do 1,000 units with our students in the next 12 months.
Today, we got a very special guest with us, Michael Blanc. And then, as always, Sean Corbett with True West Realty Group. Basically, we can just kind of dive right into it. Michael, you're really big in the real estate investment world. I've noticed you do a lot of multifamily, kind of bigger apartment complex type of units. So why don't you go ahead and just start off and tell us about how you got into the investing world and how you got started, what your background is, and we can kind of go from there.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't start with multifamily. It started with single family houses like it did for many of us. But, you know, I have a background like maybe like many other people. I was taught to go to school, get good grades and get good, you know, get a job with benefits. And that's what I did. And I was part of a software company in the late 90s and got kind of lucky. The company went public. And in 2004, I decided to I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I decided to pursue financial freedom. So I had some money in the bank. I mean, I would say not enough to retire, but enough to do stuff with. And so I wanted to parlay that money into financial freedom. That was my quest. And so as misguided as it was, I actually put my money into the restaurant business because I knew a bunch of people in the franchise world, and they were, according to them, printing money. And I was like, huh, I'd like to print money. And so I wanted to print money, and I put all my money into a restaurant for a pizza franchise. And it went well for a number of years until the recession. And then it stopped working so well. In fact, it kicked my ass and I lost all of my IPO millions and added a couple $100,000 of debt on top of it, almost lost my house and really considered very strongly going back to work to get my W-2 job. And instead I decided to start flipping houses. I had flipped a couple houses in 2005, had a good old fun time with it, worked really well before I got into my real quest, which was, you know, restaurants for financial freedom, until it didn't work anymore. So I decided to dig myself out with single family house investing, and I flipped about 36 houses in three years. And I was working 80 hours a week trying to get myself out of the restaurants, running 6 restaurants myself at the time, and then flipping houses in my spare time, which I didn't have. So I was losing money in the restaurants, making money in the houses, and made no money at all. It was pretty bad, awful time. And then in 2011, I kind of accidentally got into an apartment building. It was a 12 unit in Washington, D.C. through one of my wholesalers. That was a nightmare in itself. I immediately regretted getting into apartment buildings. But then after about a year, it stabilized and it started sending me mailbox money. It was sending me like $1,000 a month. And of course, it wasn't very exciting, but I was like, well, shoot, maybe I should do more of that and less of this. And that's kind of when a major light bulb went off and I decided to shift entirely into multifamily. And I discovered that you can do this without having $1 million in the bank because I didn't have any at the time. I learned how to raise money and that opens up an entire world. I also learned that you don't have to have previous real estate investing experience. So today we have about $350 million of multifamily revenue, of revenue real estate. But what I'm more proud of is that we've helped students buy $1.5 billion worth of multifamily real estate. And none of them did that before. Very, very, very few have ever raised money before. And many never had real estate investing experience. And the cool thing is that multifamily apartment buildings, even small ones, can lead to financial freedom within as little as a year. So it's the most powerful form business I have ever seen. And I've done a bunch of stuff that can lead to financial freedom so quickly and so permanently.
So you from your W-2 job up until you got into investing in the multifamily, what was that? How long of a time period was that?
Oh, a very long period, dude. It was like 2005, and then I lost everything. So I was fine for about 3 years. I would say a solid 12 years. So my quest for financial freedom took about 12 years. I consider myself the crash test dummy of financial freedom of what not to do. But since then, we have figured out a system. We call it the Dealmaker Blueprint that takes someone from their W-2 job to doing their first deal and quitting their job in as little as 12 months. And then we help people scale their portfolios so that they can leverage their financial freedom for significance and legacy.
Okay. So what would you say if you had, say, four takeaways from that 12-year period that you think were the most significant learning achievements, I guess, for lack of better words, what would you think would be the four things that you took away from that that would maybe save someone else time?
Well, one of the main one is be very clear about what you want. Clarity, right? So I thought financial freedom, you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you're like, oh, real estate, cash flow business, right? But no one tells you what exact real estate strategy you should pursue, because there's the Burr method, there's landlording, there's duplexes, there's flipping, there's wholesaling, right? There's all these strategies, and no one actually tells you which one works. So I was like, well, flipping obviously is the one he's talked about. But I didn't realize that real estate investing is not equal financial freedom, right? Passive income enables financial freedom. And of course, as we know, flipping houses is not really passive. Landlording is much more passive, but it takes too long. It takes too many properties to get to the same goal. So I wasn't really clear about what I wanted, right? Getting in a restaurant business, while the intent was correct, it wasn't really recession-proof, which I now know, right? So the first one is clarity. And the second one, and through that clarity, you gain, you can make better choices about your strategy that you're doing. So for me, it would have been super had someone would have told me, Michael, now that you have all this money, you want financial freedom, you should get right in apartment buildings. Let me tell you why, right? Versus me flailing about. And the third lesson is probably having advisors, mentors, and coaches around you. And I really did not value them early on because I had money and I'm clearly a genius. I didn't need any help. And every time I did not have advisors around me, I either lost vast amounts of money, lost a lot of time, or made massive mistakes. And then the few times I had a mentor or advisor, I was very successful. So when I first flipped my first two houses, for example, I had a wholesale coach. And my first, postcard campaign, within 3 months, I had two deals that I was flipping and was wildly successful, right? Because I had someone helping me. So if one can afford it, not everybody can, you should hire a mentor or a coach who has done what you want to do. So those kind of three things stand out for me.
Awesome. Now, Sean does a lot of flipping, a lot of real estate investing. So I figured you'd have some good questions for him. I figured I could kind of let y'all hop in, talk maybe a little higher level, and I can maybe come in with some elementary questions for clarification. So do you have anything for him, Sean?
Oh, I've got lots of things for Michael Blank, but we don't have a whole lot of time. So we'll see what we can get accomplished. Because he and I, it's funny because I kind of see Michael maybe 5-10 years ahead of where I'm at, right? I've had to go through and learn a lot of these lessons he's talking about. I went to college, I got my MBA, I did the corporate thing. And I knew long-term it wasn't going to be my answer. I ended up getting a real estate license. That's a whole nother story. But in the process, I opened a brokerage. I got into flipping. I probably flipped about 100 homes here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Nice. And I did find out that flipping isn't going to build net worth. It's only as good as your last flip. And if you do 10, you're going to lose on 2. You make money on 5. But it's impossible to really effectively run a proper cash flow when money's going in and out so fast. So I moved into the buy and hold strategy. And I do think that that's the way we should go. I'm at the single family level, so I have not gone into multifamily. I know you've talked about some strategies and things of how to get people together, put money together, syndications, maybe things like that, in order to effectively buy entry level complexes to get started. My thinking was, well, maybe at about 8 or 9, 10 houses, I can sell them, right? The Lifestyles Unlimited, have you ever heard of them? it's a guy here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Basically, it's get your first rental, get to 10, sell them all, go get your small apartment complex. And he wants the people to build that way. I think some of the things you're talking about, you could build faster and more effectively without having to go through the trouble of trying to build up 10 individual family homes.
That's right.
But one of the things you mentioned that was real interesting, and I watched your video on Robert and the Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He And the way you described it and talked about it made me think back to the time I read it. I thought it was incredibly valuable to look at cash flow and stay on the asset side of the balance sheet, not the expense side. And some of the things he said sounds really good, but that doesn't mean that gives you any type of blueprint to get it done, right? I mean, all it is just a lot of intellectually intelligent things to say that sounds good, but that doesn't mean you can actually put it on paper and start running.
Right.
So it made me kind of start thinking about that again and some of the, cause I read it. I mean, I was like, man, this guy is like sharp. He's got it. I know his dad's his biological dad didn't have those type of answers. He had the more traditional answers. And this other guy is running and killing it. And he's learning from that guy. I loved it, you know, but I wanted you to talk kind of a little bit about, there's one thing about staying with cash flow and looking at that as an intelligent thing to do, but that's still not an answer for how to build any type of net worth or even a cash flowing model. What would you say is kind of one of those little secret ingredients in there that helps get you there?
I think the secret is raising capital. And I've met Robert a few times, and he does not like syndication for some reason. He does not like raising money. And it's, you know, I don't want to debate Robert. He's not really a fun guy to debate with, but that's the secret, really. And so the strategy is, one guy is teaching, you know, get 10 rentals, sell it. You know, you get the greenhouses and you upgrade to the red houses, right? There's nothing wrong with that strategy, but the problem is it takes too long. There's a faster way to do it. And once you get the bug of raising money, the sky's literally the limit. And that's the secret. The only reason you don't go right into apartments is because you feel like you have a money problem. But if you had 10 investors putting in $100,000 and you had $1 million, you suddenly wouldn't have a money problem anymore. So if you can raise money, you wouldn't have to go through 10 houses to sell the houses to buy an apartment building. And so that's really the thing. And the resistance to raising capital is completely, it's a limiting belief, really. There's really nothing, if you peel back the onion, there's really no valid argument for not raising capital. But I can think of all kinds of objections to it, but not really one that's real. The first syndication of the world was Empire State Building. It was actually the first syndication of its kind. And you can't build a building that size with debt alone or with someone's capital. You have to raise capital. And you asked about cash flow and wealth, and you're right, they're different, they're related, but they are in fact different. You can have, let's say I can invest in ATM machines. They're high cash flow, but of course they depreciate in a bad way, right? So they're not an appreciating asset. And so an ATM investment generates cash flow, but doesn't really build wealth. Apartment buildings, on the hand, they do both, which is what I like about it. The third component I like about them is the amazing tax advantages you get with them. And that's what I like about these apartment buildings. Yes, it cash flows, but by doing value add deals where you improve the property like you would a house flip and you slowly increase rents over time, that act increases the income of the property and with it the value of the property. So I can have two properties next to each other, one worth $1 million, and the same exact property next door worth 1.5, only because this one produces more income. I like that because now I am not dependent on the market. I'm not dependent on my comps. I can control the value of my building by increasing the value, the income of that building. And I like that level of control I have with apartment buildings. So I can get the acquisition fees, which we didn't talk about. It's like a commission. When you syndicate a deal, you typically get paid 2 to 3%. Of the value of the building, you get paid as a commission. You don't need a license for it. Those are very, very lucrative. For every $1 million you buy, you get $30,000 in acquisition fees. This is why most people quit their job after their first deal, even if it's a relatively small one, because of the acquisition fees, and it gives them, it extends their runway. Now they can focus on a real time. So those are the same things I like. I like the acquisition fees. I like the cash flow, the appreciation, and the tax benefits are very powerful.
You do, there's a program that you do. I'm assuming that you are kind of assuming that role of being the mentor or advisor that you kind of put yourself around for success. I don't want to speak on your behalf. I'm guessing that you teach people how to a degree, maybe raise some capital and go about their first deal. If you want to elaborate more on your program a little bit and then maybe give some nuggets as to, say, for someone coming into the real estate investment world, like, what do you hope to see people coming in with, like, at what stage they're at? And then what do they really need? Because you're saying they don't need money. Is there, do they need good credit? Do they need some level of money?
So there's several questions there. There's a lot of questions in that, in those questions. A lot, people don't believe they can do this. And you mentioned a few of them, like, I don't have the credit, I don't have the money. I don't know anybody with money. I don't have the time. I don't have any experience, right? These are all the things that are come up very, and so because we've helped so many people do their first deal and then subsequently quit their job, if you look at them, they don't really have anything in common demographic wise, right? They're black and white, young and old, people with money, people without money, people with experience, people without experience. They really don't share any attributes per se in that way. What they do share is they do have a certain degree of hustle, right? But anything in life, anything you've built, both of you have built, or I have built, you have to have a certain amount of grit to it, and you have to be consistent in your action taking. But other than that, there's really no parallels. And so what's amazing to me is that so many different people have been successful, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you're successful. Whether you're an engineer or a school teacher, you're successful, right? And so that's encouraging, because some businesses really only are good for a certain kind of person. Maybe you're a little more analytical, or maybe you're more sales oriented. And this business really works for so many different people, and it works so unbelievably fast. One suggestion I have, because a lot of people listening or watching this were like, "Ah, man, I don't know. I'm not so sure." You know, our platform really is Financial Freedom with Real Estate, and we just put out a free course. It's a free video course. It's called Apartments 101, and that might be a good foray for you guys. And it's apartments. It's apartments101.co is the URL. For all you guys to look into. It's just four videos, and it kind of goes in really high level. How is this different than single family investing? Why does it maybe work a little better or faster? How can you overcome your lack of experience, your lack of money? And then it gets into the dealmaker blueprint, the mechanics of actually going about and closing your deal. And then I do address some of those limiting beliefs that we just talked about, because that's what's holding all of us back. So that might be a good first step as well.
Let me push back on a couple of things just for
sure. Push away.
Yeah. So I tell you, one of the hesitations that I've had getting into this type of work, because I think improving value and things like that is no problem. I mean, I do that all day with properties that I work with. It looks like he's pulled up the website for you.
Cool.
Yeah, just so people can see and they're watching this.
Yeah.
The cash on cash return is typically, so I'm in Dallas Fort Worth, and our market, as far as I can tell, is what, you know, talking to investors is pretty difficult for people to do value adds, where they take a, you know, a C minus and make it a C plus, or C plus, make it a B minus. And because the cost of the apartments complexes are so incredibly high, and they are that 98-99% occupied, so they sell them for premiums.
Yeah.
So it makes it really hard to leverage and negotiate when they're selling at complete, fully occupied. Yep. And then your cash on cash is like 5%. So that's always been kind of my comeback. I'm like, well, I do know people that have money that would probably pull in money together, and we could do even 50% and then finance 50% with a bank or something along those lines. But I was always worried about cash on cash and things like that. I didn't know if it would make enough return. And I think what you're saying, and I don't mean to speak for you, is the sheer volume and scalability of it means that, you know, at a $15 million building, you can still draw $10,000 a month pretty easily without really interrupting the cash flow at all. I think that's kind of what you're going, but go ahead.
Yeah. You're talking about deal flow, and the question always is, you know, how do I find deals? Is now the right time to get in the market, along those lines? And it is a matter of, it's a matter of getting the right deal flow. Okay. So the kind of properties you're talking about are listed by Marcus Millichap and CB, you know, these are listed by professional brokers that are very stable, very shiny, and they have giant buyers lists. And it's not as hot now as it was maybe a year or two ago, or three, or even four. It's not quite as hot. Okay, that helps. That's helpful. But you're right. You're not buying those kinds of deals. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, a lot of the action happens in the off-market space. So these are deals that are not officially listed yet, but they do always happen through brokers. So the key in this business, not so much in single-family houses, but in multifamily, specifically is broker relationships. And the good news is it doesn't take you years to build broker relationships. It takes you maybe 2-3 months where they starting to learn and trust you. They see how you're behaving, that you're serious. And they start giving you access to off-market deals that are not listed yet or not quite listed yet because that matches your criteria. And, you know, brokers are efficient. And some sellers don't want to list. They don't want to go through the hassle of best and final, have a bunch of people parading through and spooking their property management company. So there's a lot of action that happens in the off-market space. And that's where the magic happens. I'd say over half of our deals are on the off-market. The rest are competitive. And some we win and some we lose, right? In the beginning, you can't really throw your name around because you don't have a name. So you're going to have to probably get more in the off-market space. And then you're getting at more distressed stuff, right, that not everybody wants, that you can't get agency debt for. You have to get some kind of bridge loans, be a little more creative in your financing. You have to try a little harder. And that's where the magic happens, really, in that more of that off-market space. That's really the trick.
On the off market, we're probably not going to be able to create the proper portfolio for a bank to have the risk tolerance. So you have to get more creative on creating that information. Is that not one of your issues or?
No. Debt is only an issue right now because of what happened with interest rates. In general, debt is an issue. But if you rewind the clock a year ago, you know, you can get 75% loan to value, bridge loans, very affordable, very flexible. And then, you know, once your portfolio, once the property hits 90% occupied, you can then refinance into agency debt. So debt has really never been a problem until recently. And the recently that we have this hiccup in the market right now is because of the debt markets. But even in that state, you know, we're all resourceful entrepreneurs. So are the mortgage brokers. They're getting more resourceful. They're bringing in exotic things like pref equity. What the hell is that? Well, it doesn't really matter. It behaves like real debt at the end of the day. And so everybody's becoming more resourceful to get around the issue that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, to fill up their portfolio of loans, they do that on the residential side as well. They start doing all these creative things. When interest rates go up, they have less flexibility, less opportunity. So they'll create programs to offset the interest rate increases to keep the cash flows going.
What's your mindset going into acquiring properties right now? Is kind of what the market's doing with interest rates going up. I know you're seeing a lot of price decreases, which is probably a good thing. But if you want to kind of elaborate, because I feel like you're going to be more educated on the market than a lot of other people speaking on it. So I think that'd be valuable.
Buying stuff right now is going to be magical. The challenge is dealing with stuff you bought 2 years ago. Okay. So if you put that aside for a second, the reason that stuff we bought 2 years ago is a challenge is because of the rapid rise in interest rates. Okay. So you got to deal with interest rates. And then hopefully if you did it right, you're capping it, right? So it's capping out, still goes up. And then you got to deal with these interest rate caps. I don't want to get into it, but the problem is anything that was purchased 2 to 3 years ago is a challenge because of the interest rates. But if you're buying stuff, it's magical. Number one, for two reasons. Number one, you're underwriting new deals vastly different than you did 2 years ago, right? You're already baking in high interest rates. Okay. Now, you know, 2 years ago, we're buying stuff at 4% and we're baking in, you know, refinance of an outrageous, you know, 5%. You know, now, of course, we're at 7% and 8%. So no one could foretell the rapid rise in interest rates. So right now we're underwriting deals with high interest rates. We're underwriting deals with low LTV. Okay. We're underwriting deals with massively expensive interest rate caps. We're baking all that stuff in the deal. And now we can buy these deals, right? And so this is why prices have come down, because everybody has to put this in their analysis that wasn't there before. Same thing happened after COVID, when all the banks wanted 12 months of interest reserves. Like, oh no, we never had that before. Put it in your analysis. And of course that reduces your purchase price. There was a little weirdness in the market for about 3 or 4 months. Sellers went, oh, I probably need to adjust my price to accommodate what's going on. Then deals got done again, right? So right now buying is magical because we're already pricing in, I would say 80% of the change that's already happened is over. Like this crazy chaos with interest rates, it's going to be relatively flat, and some would argue might even go down. I'm of the argument that it's probably going to go down a little bit. I think the Fed's going to resume their magical quantitative easing because it worked so well before. That's going to help us. But in other words, we're buying stuff at, and kind of worst case scenarios, And we're going to get a lot of opportunity from operators who are starting to experience distress for the first reason I mentioned, because of the rising interest rates and their inability to run their properties profitably. And if and when they do have to do a capital call to renew the loan, the interest rate caps that they purchased, the investors are not going to put money in because the property is losing. And so we're already starting to see that in the market. So we think, and this is, again, we come back to the off-market thing. I don't think that stuff is going to be in the news. It's going to be kind of hush-hush quietly. People are going to call up brokers. They're going to call up other operators. They're going to make side deals to extricate themselves. And so there's going to be a lot of opportunity in properties like that. So buying opportunities are going to be amazing. If you've got properties, you're dealing with some operational issues.
Love it. We got about 3.5-4 minutes left. So if you want to speak a little bit to the program you have that you're offering, and maybe, you know, what people could expect to take away after completing the course, yeah. And we can kind of speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I like to say that we have something called a Dealmaker Journey, and the Dealmaker Journey uses the Dealmaker Blueprint to get you from one stage to another. So basically we're expecting people to come in with no knowledge of apartments, no money and no experience. Okay. The only thing they want is they want financial freedom with real estate. They got it on the brain. They don't have it all figured out. That's our ideal student, right? So that's who we're looking for. And we can work with that. So our Dealmaker Blueprint takes someone from that, addresses a lot of those limiting and false beliefs that we talked about earlier, and kind of bends their mind and shows them how they can overcome those things, and then shows them how to analyze deals, how to find the market, how to speak to brokers so you get access to those off-market deals, how to raise capital, how to get the funding, how to do due diligence, and how to close the deal, how to manage the deal, how to exit the deal, all those things, how to joint venture. And so these programs address all of those things. But like I said, a lot of stuff can be very overwhelming. I don't want to overwhelm people with all those, you know, advanced things. I think the best way to do it is just go to apartments101.co and just watch those videos. And then you can decide, oh, Michael's off his rocker, or you might decide, you know, that's something I can think about. You know, I can see it. I can start to see it coming together a little bit. Maybe you decide that's something you want to pursue, and then maybe you listen to my podcast, or maybe then you start investing in your education to learn about it. But I think that would probably be a good first step.
Awesome. And yeah, I'll make sure to link all that stuff in the description of this video. So if you're interested, make sure to go check that out. Also, I don't know if you want to promote it, but you got a YouTube channel. I was going to throw that out.
Yeah, got a YouTube channel. Yeah, I'm at themichaelblank.com is my handle everywhere. So we have a YouTube channel. There it is. We have a podcast called Financial Freedom with Real Estate. And that's also the name of the yellow book on Amazon, Financial Freedom with Real Estate. So we're on Instagram, LinkedIn, fairly active on all those platforms. So whatever is your favorite, just connect with us there. Would love to do that.
Awesome. Well, Michael, I really appreciate you hopping on. Maybe we'll do this again sometime, and I may be going through this course myself. Check it out. So
do it, Wes. Yeah. Thanks so much, Wes and Sean. Awesome. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you. You have a good one.
See you guys.
See ya.